It is Thursday, the 12th of July, and this is episode 126 of Digital Outbox. Another episode, it's another Thursday, so we're on air and I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening.
I should have said I'm Chris. Everyone knows that, right?
I am Chris.
Yeah, exactly. Sad news, Ian. Some sad news.
Oh, no. I'm worried.
Somewhere around Silverstone, probably in the mud, is lying a new Fitbit Ultra.
Oh, no. And do you know, and that's really odd because I hadn't checked Fitbit all week and usually my Fitbit stops syncing at some point. And I fired it up today and I thought, you know, ever since Silverstone, Chris hasn't posted any updates. I wonder if the rain got to it.
So, no, I believe at some point it may have pinged itself to oblivion.
Oh, no.
Gutted.
Is that it?
It might be it. Certainly for a bit. I can't keep spending ridiculous amounts of money on a stupid bit of plastic. And my incompetence leads me to lose it. It could be in the car. I haven't had a good check, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So it's quite a sad day.
That is quite sad. I still think we should play the review car demo. Dear Nike, dear Fitbit,
I'm a klutz. Can you please send me some more stuff?
And I was going to say a gadget show style challenge, but ours will just be sitting in our chairs. How accurate? Does it measure?
Can it count zero steps? Anyway, let's get on with some news, shall we? And we're going to start with O2. So I'm sad about my Fitbit, but O2 people are sad because they can't make phone calls at the moment. Basically, they've had an outage. Pretty serious one.
And I was going to do a Sun-esque type title with that O2 out. I can't do it. O2 outage. O2 outrage.
Yeah, so people have gone a bit loopy, but then again, this outage started on sort of Wednesday, so that was what are we up to now? That was
a whole day ago.
Yeah. So that was yesterday, but it kind of one of those things where it starts off and you think, oh, it won't last long, but actually it's lasted over 24 hours now. So, and I think people are still having a few issues this evening.
Oh, I thought it was all done and dusted.
Okay, so there we go. So it resolved itself, but it did take 24 hours, and that's obviously quite a long time in the modern era to be left without your phone.
In the land of first world problems, that really was a first world problem.
Yes, but the thing is, people chop off their landlines now, so if they don't have their mobile, that can, you know, it can be more of a serious issue. You've got no sympathy at all, have you?
I don't know. I don't know if I've just got old.
Or if I was on the receiving end of that, wouldn't you be a bit annoyed?
I guess so.
So anyway, they couldn't, Ian doesn't care. Basically, you couldn't make calls or send texts. And I think receiving was also a bit of a problem.
And there was no data, no 3G, yes. No Twitter.
I wonder, is this a sign? We haven't really had the post-mortem of what's gone on, but I wonder whether data loads have been an issue or something. But
There's been very little said about what's actually caused it, but the latest Guardian article said that it is rumoured it was a software hardware upgrade in anticipation of Olympics that has caused the issue.
In anticipation, we're going to have a really heavy load, so let's just have a bit of a gap. Let's have a rest right now. Anyway, another software update that's not gone well. Software engineers aren't going down very well at the moment, are they?
No, I mean. When I'm being flippant, I mean, it's affected, I mean, the amount of people it affected is massive. It's 7 million people, which is a lot more than I thought, because at first they were saying thousands, and then it was hundreds of thousands this morning that they were officially saying. And if O2 themselves are saying there's hundreds of thousands affected, you're like, oh, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
And it is 7 million. It's a third of the customers. It's such a big outage. I mean, Ofcom are saying that they're going to investigate, and the likelihood is that there will be some compensation to customers.
Because it doesn't only affect O2, of course, it affects all the O2 customers, which include Tesco Mobile and GIFGAF, which is, something that's taking hold, isn't it, GIFGAF? So they're probably
And similar to RBS and all that nonsense. You know, you might not be an account holder with RBS, but if your employee or employer was, you know, you didn't get paid. Similarly, if you were trying to contact somebody on O2 network, you were affected as well. So that, I think the other networks were seeing, I think it was a couple hundred thousand failures an hour of people trying to place calls. So it's the knock-on is actually, it is pretty big when you start to think about the figures, the amount of people involved and the amount of people that probably couldn't then contact. So it's a big issue. I must be less flippant.
Keep hold of your landlines, everyone.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. The best bit for me, the social media team, they got some abuse today. from sweary louts who just think, you know, Twitter's there just for them, to even like people like Hugh Edwards demanding that after 6 hours, come on, O2, do more. A cock.
In a Scottish accent, yeah.
Well, he's got that kind of shady kind of. See, I don't like slagging him off.
Shady Welsh accent.
Well, I don't like slagging him off because he's like Brian. He's got a bit of a shady Welsh accent, but I also think he's kind of had a stroke at some point because his face looks kind of like as if he's been a stroke victim.
Right.
Maybe he has. I don't know.
Maybe he just started a vicious rumor. Bit of good news for Samsung though. The patent wars in the courts where Apple basically stopped the Galaxy Tab from being sold in UK and US have now been overturned, I believe. So, and the overturning, I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but pretty much it said the Samsung wasn't cool enough to fail these on the previous judgment. So, really, they can sell it because it's a bit rubbish. You've got to say that the all this patent wars has done its job though, because the Galaxy Tab was a big thing at one point, and it really isn't anymore. It's yesterday's news with all the other tablets that we've seen since. So it definitely did its job.
I just wish that, and to me, Apple kind of won out of this as well, because they've obviously delayed things. It's obviously cost them a lot of money, but they've got a lot of money to spend. But all the headlines weren't about really Samsung overturning. It was more Apple's products are cooler.
Yeah, yeah, you know, well, that's the line there. And the judge did actually use cool in his judgment. How weird. But yes.
But he then went on to explain that, you know, the designs weren't similar and blah, blah, blah. So it's like, why did you use the word cool, YouTube?
Never mind. It's good in that now Samsung can sell their tab. It's just sad that the tab has little relevance currently.
No, but I don't know enough about patents. I kind of hope that, you know, whatever future tabs they do bring out,
that we're not going to go through it all again.
They don't instantly get taken to court and we have to go through the same rigmarole. My gut feel is I'm pretty sure somebody will keep doing this.
Yeah, no, they've got endless cash. They can do what they like. They're going to do it. But then they might think twice about, you know, just doing the really easy thing of just copying blatantly. Maybe.
Samsung seems the worst out of everybody. They do just seem to blatantly copy.
It's the same with car companies. Basically, there's a lot of car companies that are just copying the latest designs without any research and development themselves.
No, I saw a video of the kind of Siri equivalent on the Samsung phone, and it, apart from a slightly different icon, it was like and a slightly different noise. Instead of doo doo, it was. And it was the exact same. The screens came in the same format and it all worked. And it was like,
if it was me doing the design, making all the hard work and producing a product, then I would probably be annoyed that someone, you know, and want something done about it. But it's not me, it's Apple. They should just keep going on. They're not being threatened by Samsung. Windows 8, we're going to see it this October.
Yep, next.
Well, I mean, that, so we didn't know the date and now we do, basically.
Yeah, so basically released to manufacturers in August, so fire up your turn engines in late August, because I'm sure you'll be able to download your copy and you'll be able to buy it properly for real in October.
And basically that's 50, it's that, so if, as long as you get it early, it's $15 upgrade, is that right? I think I've undersold that bit.
I was going to say $40.
Yeah, it might be 40, I can't remember. Anyway, so it's a cheap upgrade cost to start with. Dropbox. I had an email from Dropbox. It was a very unexpected email, and they told me I had more space to play with. So I've actually got 100 gig now, whereas I only had 50 before.
Fantastic.
I didn't ask for it, but I'm quite happy I've got it.
So this was Dropbox doubling their pro accounts.
I think they had to keep up with all the other things going on, keep relevant, because it's just very easy for us to start talking about all these other accounts, you know, Google Drive, Cloud from Apple's, you know, iCloud. So it just,
I think,
you know, brings it in line.
iCloud pricing, I think, was the same as the old Dropbox pricing. So they obviously had to do something, especially with Mountain Lion coming out, and I think iCloud's going to be more in your face for Mac users. I think Windows 8, you're going to see a lot more talk about SkyDrive, etc. So yeah. I think lots of people do know about Dropbox, but this was, how do you find it for value? I mean, $100 a year doesn't sound too much for 100 gig.
No, I mean, and I do it because we use it for work and we actually exceed the normal allowance, so it becomes a pain to actually, you can't have any of my own files in there. So I upgraded it for that reason. And I have to say, Dropbox's service is very, very good. And it does offer really nice ways of being able to share galleries and things like that. So without the issue of you having to go and host them somewhere. And it does a good job of that. And it's ubiquitous, and its syncing is very streamlined. So I'm still impressed with Dropbox, and it's just something that I use without thinking about it now. And in fact, because there's more and more space available, I'm using it more liberally as well. So actually, I think they're remaining relevant.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I've said before, I'm pretty lucky. I've got now just under 14 gig free.
Just by uploading photos and stuff?
Well, it was uploading. I was also an early beta tester. So I think they very kindly gave me 5 gig on top because I was beta testing and doing bits and pieces with it early on.
They're still pushing the photo thing. So you can still get absolutely extra space on Dropbox if you're using Dropbox just by uploading some photos. And as I understand it, once you've uploaded those photos, you can remove them again and retain the extra space.
If you want to be really sneaky, you can just kick off the upload and then delete them before they've all uploaded, and you still get the extra space.
Right, so there's even more of a hacker solution. Why waste your bandwidth? we're a big fan of Kickstarter on this podcast. I say we. I mean, Ian.
Okay, so I've bought some things from Kickstarter. I've not received anything yet.
No, and that might be how it stays. You never know, vaporware. So Kickstarter is the kind of venture capital website, if you like, looking for crowd to fund projects by pledging money in differing amounts. Usually the pledges lead to you getting one of the products when they've actually been made. So far it's been very US focused, but they have brought their website now over to the UK. Is there much difference? Is it the same website but just in the UK?
It's going to be in August. So from autumn.
We're not released yet, so okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be the
are
same.
They asking for money to do it?
No. Somebody was talking about starting a Kickstarter to buy Kickstarter, which would be very meta. But the model's going to be exactly the same. It's just that at the moment it's only a US citizens, I think, that can, you know, if you've got a residency in America, you can kick off a Kickstarter.
Okay. So anyone can pledge, but you have to be in America to actually start the project.
And this is them actually starting to say, we need to grow this around the world, and first stop's UK. And I don't know if they've done that based on, you know, the amount of people buying stuff from the UK, or, you know, they just think that's the next natural market to go to.
They think there's loads of people looking at the website. It's just Ian.
Well, it's interesting. I saw a bit of an argument. Penny Arcade actually launched a Kickstarter a couple of days ago, and it was, you know, fund us and we'll remove adverts from our website. And they've been through a number of different funding models before. And I actually saw a lot of negative tweets about it. Not a lot, it's just a few people saying that's not what Kickstarter's for. And I was thinking about it, and it's like, no, but Kickstarter's for anything you want to raise money for. Nobody's actually
Kickstarter
said,
don't care. They get their 5% commission they're working on, basically.
But also there's no big rule out there that says, you know, established companies can't do it, or, you know, podcasters can't do it, or
I can understand that it is twist. I mean, if the website turned away from being this place where you go and have a look at innovative projects that you might want to get involved with, and it just turns into, well, just remove adverts from my existing website. Well, I can see how that lessens the appeal of the website, but there's, you know, don't get pissed off about it. If it happens, isn't it?
Yeah, I still think it's a good way for maybe folk that either can't get, you know, venture capital, or they've just got a really small idea, but it's, you know, it's quite niche.
I don't know when the announcement's coming, but when are they going to tell you you're not getting your Pebble? Has anything ever been produced from Kickstarter yet? This is what we need to find out. Have these things ever come to fruition?
Yes. And I can't wait to get my pebble, even if it's just to go, even just to sit here and go, look, it can tell the time.
Did you ever see the video of the fake iPhone that was really good from that market that someone bought for like £4? And it looked amazing until they opened it up and it was just like a little LED lighting up. That's what your pebble's going to be.
I can't believe you get so much pebble hate, to be honest.
When it appears, I might be jealous until then.
I'm sure you're just jealous of me and Brian. That A, we've got Fitbits, and B, we've got pebbles in the way.
And they'll probably work together. Damn it. Okay, so that's this autumn, so we'll wait and have a look for that in the UK, see what we can come up with. Android gaming console.
Yeah.
So this is a Kickstarter project that has become very, very popular on Kickstarter. In fact, they are up to about just over $4 million pledged, which is an incredible amount of money. And it's effectively for an Android-based Android-based gaming console. Really small box designed to hook up to your TV in your lounge. Comes with a controller which looks a bit like the Xbox One in their renders. Fairly well powered, so it's got a quad core processor with a gig RAM, 8 gigs of storage, but effectively designed to hook up to your TV and play Android games in your lounge, I guess.
Absolutely. And it to me, we talked about this before with Apple TV, and if an App Store came out, wouldn't it be great? This just looks like somebody saying, well, sod waiting for that, let's do an Android based device. And they're also, the only bit I'm a bit dubious about, it's almost like they've said, we're going to do this, but we're not quite sure what people are going to do with it.
No, it's another one of the, it's just going to be a box. It looks like that then it's up to developers, because they're selling it as this hackable box, basically, but it comes with Android on it. Now, they're also selling it at $90. I think the pledge is at $89 or $99, and you actually get the product. Now, This for me is dubious based on that. I don't think there's any proof that they can build this thing for that price. And it's another one that makes me a little bit worried that it might be vaporware.
Especially as I mean they've said, and I'm looking at the $99, so you'll get a console and a controller. You'll get one before it gets to the stores. And plus you get a founder emblem next to your username on the service. Yeah. So there's obviously a service there that they're talking about, Xbox Live-esque kind of service. But then it was like, well, it's $20 if you want to ship, and if you want another controller, it's another $30. And you're thinking, so that box is only costing $70?
Yeah, and
that seems,
so first
really
of all, what kind of quality is that going to be? And secondly, there is no scope here. There's no going to be service outside of whatever people create for it. So I guess people are thinking $99 is a low punt to make on this. I just would be worried that they're going to have to come asking for more money.
It's got a massive amount of traction, you know, in Gadget, we're all over it, PC World, we're all over it.
It as much as you can be with a product which is like, they like the concept of it, but until the concept becomes reality.
The big risk for Kickstarter is when the first big project fails, you know, just say Pebble does fail.
Yeah, because what happens to that $4 million? I mean, that's quite a big amount of money.
But this for me, you know, when you think about it, that's like 60, 70 quid. You almost feel like, is that worth a punt just to get one?
Well, and that's it. It is at the right price to make a punt on it, because that's, you know, you sneeze that much money. So
sorry.
I don't know where it's a new phrase I'm working on. It's not quite there yet.
Ian Snots, $700.
Yeah, I think I've got to work on that a bit more. But yeah, so I guess that's what they're working on. That's what people have done. But, you know, what happens when this thing is rubbish? I'm a bit cynical today, aren't I? Just noticed.
Just a tad. Yeah. And you blame, I don't know, is it my O2 kind of like, oh.
Maybe, you've sneezed some money in. Caught on. Still needs work. Right, Amazon launches Game Circle.
So just to clarify, you're not going to buy one of these then, no?
No, I'm not going to punt. I'll probably just drop it in the mud somewhere. Lose it. Amazon have launched Game Circle, which from the sounds of it, very much sounds like their kind of edition of Game Center, but for the kind of Amazon marketplace and games and stuff. A series of APIs which people can hook into, which sounds like they're going to have leaderboards and notifications and stuff like that.
And the nicest thing was that it's got a sync functionality, you know, so it'll just save the player's progress back to the cloud all the time. So you just, you know, even if you delete the game or move to a new device, reinstall the game and you can just pick back up when you left off.
Yeah.
That sounds quite nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's...
I was almost reluctant to put this story in just because I feel really let down by Amazon support in the UK. I just feel...
Yeah, it does feel like it's all a bit nothing to do with us really, doesn't it?
Yep.
Not fair.
Anyway, the whole Fire thing, everybody's talking about there's maybe a new one this, you know, later this month or next month, and it'll blow everybody away. And it's like, really? The Fire seemed to get massive traction for 1 month and then just disappear.
But that's tech community for you. I think at the moment it gets a lot of talk and chat and jazz, and then it just disappears because we get bored. Ooh, another shiny thing. Let's go and have a look at that instead. On another note, I was using Steam the other day, playing Portal on Steam. And I tell you what, PC gaming, because of Steam, is just so much easier than it used to be. For these very reasons, having this integrated approach to online, you know, you've got a friends list, and just joining games and stuff is really, really easy. So dead impressed with that. Across platform and all that kind of stuff as well.
And so is
that. And properly cloud syncing as well.
No, absolutely. I fired it up on the Mac because I wanted to play. Remember that bundle that had Civ 5?
Civ 5 on it, yeah.
And of course, I went there and it says, oh, by the way, you did buy Portal. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's what we've been playing. So, I mean, and again, so just in Steam quietly is just moving on the whole thing. And I love the fact that you can buy a game once and use it, you know, cross platform.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Very clever.
I've just remembered as well what my most important use of Dropbox is. And that's syncing my Minecraft world.
Have you still got a Minecraft world? Are you making one? Are you in Minecraft now?
I just have a little, every so often, and I'm feeling a bit low.
Get
my little pickaxe out.
Yeah,
and a
see, I've still got my little icon on my app launcher, but I just haven't clicked it for a little while now.
When I got the air, I had to install it. And then as soon as I installed it, I was like, oh, but I've no world. Ah, Dropbox.
We need to get your world on the multiplayer so we can all have a play.
No, it's embarrassing. All it is like a series of massive tunnels. There's nothing
else.
That's
all there is in Minecraft, just big tunnels. This is a fun story. Just because... Oh,
just because they're cocks.
There you go. this is to do with Yodel. So Yodel is the delivery network for Amazon in the UK. Used to be Home Delivery Network, and when they were Home Delivery Network, they were never that well respected. But since since they've turned into Yodel, they seem to have got worse. I have every confidence that they will soon be contacting us for an emergency takedown notice on this podcast, because they are shite.
and even worse, rather than just dealing with the issues that they clearly have, because it's not. And this isn't like a kind of tech thing. It's not an Amazon thing.
No. Generally, even my mum hates them.
You know, I mean, they're worse than Shetlink, and that's saying a lot. You know, that is
it's pretty hard. You're going to get past.
I thought you could get no lower, but you can.
See, and it's one of those things. So that basically, people have been moaning on Twitter and all that parcels have gone missing. They haven't been delivered. They've been delivered late. They've been delivered damaged. And the thing is. They've gone after Twitter and asked for takedowns due to libel of libelous statements.
And the thing is, compare that to if you're like a small startup, or compare it even to some of the bigger companies, and they're saying, you know, you pick up a complaint on Twitter and you actually get in touch with them and how can we help, and we apologize and let's see if we can do something to resolve this, or maybe the next time you use it, it'll be a cheaper service. Or
do you remember the first time I ever heard that was from Plusnet, and I was amazed because I made a complaint on Twitter. I moaned out that I'd got something was wrong with Plusnet. They tweeted me back, resolved the issue, sorted. I was that's the power of Twitter and how companies can use that turn a negative into a positive. This turns a negative into an extreme rage within the online community, which is just not a good thing to do. You exactly. Stir up that hornet's nest and you'll know about it.
So quite horrible. I mean, they basically sued Twitter. They asked them to take down the tweets. And I mean, some of the tweets weren't that bad. I mean, some of the tweets they wanted deleted simply were calling on Euro to fix its customer service. Others tell a horror story similar to the one suffered by Claire Jolly, and the article mentioned, you know, how there were some really, you know, bad examples. And many of the tweets still seem to be online, but some of them have disappeared. And they also asked that there was a parody account, not Yodel, and another one which was HTNL, so the old name that Yodel went by before rebranding, that both be removed, and they're no longer active and appear to be taken down by Twitter.
And Twitter won't comment on whether they have taken these things down. Everyone who uses it has had a bad experience with them at some point. I mean, I know my parents' parcels get routinely delivered to a completely the wrong house in completely the wrong village. and they know that it happens so often now that they actually know the people that it gets delivered to. And they get in contact to say, oh, there's another parcel here for you. And that's utter rubbish.
I actively, you know, if a firm are using them, I will go elsewhere, even if it costs me slightly more money.
Yeah, and there you go. I have every confidence as well that Amazon know this and maybe are looking at reviewing.
I read a really interesting article. It was all about sales tax in America, Amazon have resisted for years about paying the sales tax, and then they were getting forced to. And the states were forced to. They said, right, we're pulling out. So they pulled out massive distribution centers, which obviously cost lots of jobs and cost the states lots of money. But over the last year, they've said, actually, we're going to go for it. So they've signed up to pay the sales tax. But what that allows them to do is set up a distribution center in each of the states that they're paying the sales tax. And what they're now chasing after, it's going to cost a lot of money, but same day delivery. They want to be the ones that say, you want this now, we'll deliver it to you today.
That's the next step in online. I mean, next day delivery is pretty amazing, but if you could order by 10 o'clock and get it the same day, that's
and that kills local shops, etc. And I'm sure there'll be a whole lot of people going, oh, you can't do that. But it's like, it's what people want.
That's the only bit that's left for a shop at the moment, a physical bricks and mortar shop, is the fact that if you want something now, the only way to do it is to go down to the shops and get it.
Yeah, that whole, I always call it that whole instant gratification. You know, I'll pay that PC World tax of £10 just to get that thing now because I want it.
Now, there's probably frightening ramifications to Amazon doing this to shops and therefore service and availability of things. But you know what? If I could have things delivered the same day without having the annoyance of going somewhere, I probably would do it.
Well, let's not finish this story in a positive. You're a bunch of cops for doing this.
Yeah, you're twats. Off you go. Off you trot.
Go on, bye-bye. Take us down.
Ta-da now.
Take us down. Dare you.
Okay, and that is the end of the news for this week. But you do have a pick of sorts.
Token picks is the new name of the section.
Beautiful, yeah.
My first token pick, because there's multiples, is Google Plus. That much maligned service. I don't know if you use Google. Well, I know you use Google Plus because you decided to add me.
No, that's because I'm actually now using Google Plus on my. I have two Google accounts, annoyingly, and one was the one which I had all my Google Plus stuff in, and the other one is all my email and stuff like that. So now I'm trying to consolidate, basically.
Good, good. Well, Google Plus on iPhone and Android had an update about, I think it was about 6-8 weeks ago, and it was a lovely app. And with Google I.O., they focused on tablets, and they said there was a new tablet app coming, and basically it was updated 2 or 3 days ago. And Google Plus on the iPad is fantastic.
I think Plus in general is one of the best apps that no one uses.
It is. And that, I think that's part of the problem, that in many ways there's not as much content. You don't get the same friend or Twitter content, but if you... I use it just as almost a discovery. It's almost like a kind of slightly better Flipboard. You know, it looks better and works better for me. As long as you follow the right people, you get the same news floating to the surface.
Hangouts is the killer app in Google+.
Oh, Hangouts.
It's taken over from Skype a lot at work at the moment, because Skype doesn't work anymore.
And obviously for us with the podcast, it's just... honestly, it just works, doesn't it? It's great. I remember when we had 3 and 4, which is a long time ago. And Henry's in France, by the way. He's just emailed to say, I'm in France, so no luck.
We're carrying with our traditional. He's not dead. he's still around.
Nah, it's only Shaq we need to worry about. he's on that ledge right now. Oh, he's not.
He's not. He's still alive.
If you read his Facebook post, but you might think he is. The off topic.
Yeah,
but Google Plus, really nice update on the iPad. And see, if you look at Facebook and see, because they're not using, and I know there's lots of rumors that they are going to release a proper iOS app that actually uses isn't just a web UI component and it's just showing you the web page. They're actually going to build a proper app that's fast and slick. Google Plus is lightning fast, really clever. You know, see if a post isn't getting a lot of shares, it's smaller. If one's popular, it's bigger. Photos get full screen, you know, display. It just looks great. And as you're saying, the Hangouts work really well. So that was my first one. Give Google Plus a try. My second one is my much loved Tweetbot. I love Tweetbot on iOS. And a Tweetbot for Mac Alpha was released yesterday.
Has it been released? Has it? Ooh.
So you can download that from the... I should put the link in the show notes, but nobody will ever read the show notes. So I think if you just do a Tweetbot for Mac Google search, you'll just get the link. Yeah. So if you just go tapbots.com/tweetbot_Mac, you can download that alpha right now. It's not feature complete. They have said there's lots of bugs, but it's replaced my Twitter client on the Mac. I'm that happy with it. So things like iCloud aren't there, but you're not going to get iCloud until it's an actual Mac App Store app, because you can't use iCloud if it's not released through the App Store. But yeah, I loved it. Tweetbot's there. I'm happy.
Well, I mean, and Tweetbot, we can shout about it all we want, because it's probably one of the best iPad purchases you can make as well. It's brilliant. Love it.
So that's my two little...
good stuff. I will go and grab Tweetbot, although I never use Twitter on the PC now. So I just use
Do you not?
I just use it on the iPad. That's where I get my tweets.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Right, that is the end of our podcast. If you want to find out more, you can do at digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. And you can Twitter and... what am I talking about? Something's gone horribly wrong with my brain and mouth. I must be sneezing money. You can tweet us or you can Skype us on Digital Outbox. Ian, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter as Fupa, and you can see what money I've sneezed this week on my blog, which is at iand.net.
Look forward to that. And I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. All leaves me to say is thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again next week. Speak to you then. Bye.
Bye. I was going to say that's easy for you to say, but that would be wrong.
It wasn't easy for me to say at all.